All right, let's pause a moment here. Take a deep breath. And remember why we're here. This morning, we come together to prepare for the birth of our Savior. Today, we make ready our welcome for God's only Son, Jesus of Nazareth. We begin this special and holy season of Advent, the waiting and the expectation of God's unique activity in the world and in our lives. So let us clear our minds this morning. Let us clear our hearts and let us welcome the coming of our Lord. Let us honor His birth by decorating our church for the coming of our King. Let our songs and our symbols represent our personal rededication to the glory of God and the manifestation of His love through Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
remain standing for our unison prayer.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, whom we have glimpsed in Jesus Christ, extend your revelation to us today. Draw us deeper into covenant with you, sustaining us by your steadfast love and faithfulness. May we know your presence and your favor, both in worship and in our daily living. Come to us now, O Lord, our Savior. Amen. If you'll remain standing, this is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. You know, as we begin this season of Advent, you know, Advent means coming. It comes from a word that means coming, and it's a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. We celebrate these days of Advent in expectation and preparation for Christ's arrival. And you know, preparing and expectation, those things are important. You know, Katie and I always say if we want to clean our house, we need to invite some people over because we know we'll have that motivation to get it done, right? Because we know that we'll have that motivation to prepare our homes and to prepare ourselves to receive other people in our lives. And really, that's what life is about. It's about making room for others, and it's about making room for God. And certainly, God deserves all the space that we give him. You know, we prepare our homes and we prepare ourselves. And this morning, we're celebrating doing those things, preparing our hearts by also preparing the spaces around us. We recognize through decorating this sanctuary, through this service, that God didn't just remain in heaven, didn't just remain somewhere far off from us, but through simple acts like decorating the sanctuary, simple acts like singing songs and greeting one another and laughing together and praising God for promotions and all these things, we recognize that God doesn't stand far off, but God comes to us. That God welcomes us into a reality that we can live with him. And that's what this service is all about. It's about preparing our hearts in anticipation for the coming of our Lord. You know, through the centuries, Christians have observed this time of waiting and expectation before the coming of Christ. And it's a time when we can really look into our own lives and consider how we might be waiting for the Lord. You know, I got up the other morning and I thought to myself, sometimes I take for granted, I go through the motions of this season, and I go through the motions of even coming to worship sometimes. And I had to stop myself and remember that, you know what? Each time we get together, in each moment of our lives, we have a chance to that God might interrupt our life with something amazing. We have to be open to the fact that God works in our midst, that God's grace is with us, and we just never know when we might recognize that we're in a time when God is about to do something special. I wonder if that's what the disciples or what the shepherds realized that moment when they were looking out over that night sky and those angels appeared. Or Mary, a young girl who was planning, you know, preparing to get married when all of a sudden an angel showed up in her midst. So this morning, in this season of Advent, I want to remind you and challenge you and live with you in expectation that God is up to something, that God has incredible plans for your life, for our church, and for this entire world. And we can live with that expectation each and every moment of our lives. As Kenny used to say, the Advent season, it makes innkeepers out of all of us, asking each of us to make room for the arrival of Christ the King. And so this morning, let us prepare room for Him in our hearts, in our lives, and in our sanctuary. If you'll join me for our responsive reading found there in your bulletin. Come once again with eager anticipation to prepare the way for this, His Advent. We have gathered together to prepare our hearts for worship. Let us give thanks in the name of the Lord. For He alone is our God, and we give thanks for all He has done for us. In this season of Advent, let us pray for peace and prosperity throughout the entire world. We look to God to bring redemption to the world's suffering and peace in Jesus Christ. In faith, we know that this has always, always been God's plan. We will be bearers of this good news. We accept the challenge of preparing the way for His advent. Aren't the bagpipes amazing? That's so wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Jay, and blessing us with that incredible music. And I don't know many people that look, you know, as good as you do in a kilt either, so, you know. The tradition of the Advent wreath. In a few moments, the McKelly family is going to come up, and, you know, the tradition of the Advent wreath dates back to the ancient people of Scandinavia. During the long winter months, they placed candles on a horizontal wheel. As the wheel was spun, the light blended into a continuous circle of light. Don't get any ideas now. But today, we use this circle to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows no end, and the promise that we all have of life with no end.
On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the prophecy candle. The prophecy candle reminds us of the Old Testament prophets who foretold Christ's birth, especially Isaiah, from which comes our scripture reading for today. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall his name be Emmanuel. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is our hope today and forever. May this Advent season be one filled with the hope that we have in Christ alone.
Tradition of the evergreen. Evergreens are traditionally used to emphasize the nativity. Green represents renewal, new life, freshness, and rebirth. Plants such as pine, fir, holly, and mistletoe are called evergreens because they do not die. Through the seasons of the year, they remain evergreen, even alive. Advent is the season of preparation for the coming of Christ, God's gift to us an eternal life. Like the never-ending, dying evergreen, God's love will last forever. Tradition of bells. Bells have been used throughout the centuries to call people to worship or to bring them news. We hang bells in our sanctuary to remind us of the joy and good news of the birth of Jesus.
God is not dead, nor dead. tradition of the wreath. The wreaths are shaped like a circle to signify the never-ending reign of the Messiah. They also remind us of the crown of thorns he wore on the cross.
tradition of candles. The candles remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. We place them in the windows following the old custom that sprang from the belief that lighted windows would guide the Christ child through the darkness. They are also welcome any stranger drawn to their gleam. No one will be turned away, since anyone might be the Christ.
Poinsettias are one of the most popular Christmas plants. This flower is at the peak of its growing season in midwinter, as though it were grown just for the Savior's birth. Its colors are the popular Christmas colors of red and green. The arrangements of the petals remind us that a star blazed in the night sky. And its deep colors remind us of the blood our Savior shed for the world on the cross of Calvary.
One of the reasons why I love this service so much is because it involves everyone giving so much. Giving of their time and their abilities to help decorate this sanctuary. And even though it also gives me a little bit of anxiety watching people climb ladders, I'm just always amazed at this season because it reminds me of how much God gives to us. How God gives us His Son Jesus out of love, and how Jesus gives us His life. How we, as we look, and as we were just told, we look at the deep crimson on the poinsettias, and we remember all that God gave for us. And it reminds me of how God invites us into a life where we don't just sit back and appreciate what God has done, but we actually take part in it. That God invites us into the same kind of life where we give as a way of worshiping the Lord and as a way of saying thank you and as a way of loving one another. And so as we come to this time of giving and sharing, I hope that you will keep all of that in mind as we give back to the Lord as a way of honoring Him and thanking Him and remembering the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, so much for all the ways in which you give to us. Lord, you are so wonderful, and we want to praise you and thank you, and we pray that this time of giving would be an honor to you and that you would help us to use these gifts to glorify your name, to love your people, Lord, and to, God, to just find more and more ways that we can give back and participate in your kingdom come. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Tradition of the Chrismons. Chrismons is a combination of two words, Christ and majesty. The symbol's colors are white for purity and perfection, and gold for majesty and triumph. These are described in Scripture and refer to some aspects of Jesus' life. The white lights on the tree point to Christ as the light of the world.
The anchor cross. The anchor cross symbolizes that this child is the hope of the world. This certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. The six-pointed star. The six-pointed star denotes the six attributes of the Messiah as promised in Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord.
The Epiphany Star. The Epiphany Star has 5 points and refers to the appearance and the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. At about that time, some astrologers from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in far off eastern lands and have come to worship him." The Christmas Rose. The Christmas Rose represents the messianic promise of Isaiah. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. The rose reminds us all also that God's love blossoms in our hearts.
The chalice. The chalice reminds us of the Last Supper and our remembrance of him as we take the elements. Then he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. The Latin cross. The Latin cross is the foremost symbol of Christianity. With this symbol, we humbly seek to honor him who laid down his power. In obedience, he took up the cross to conquer sin and death.
The cross crosslet represents the spread of Christianity to the north, east, south, and west, even to the ends of the earth. The butterfly. This symbol seeks to remind us of he who burst forth triumphantly from the tomb. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises us out of our defeats and failures. His victory is our victory. As a caterpillar spins a cocoon and lies encased in a seemingly dead shell, only to emerge in a changed form as a beautiful butterfly, we emerge into the light of God's word.
The bells. The bells are symbolic of the ringing of the bells and the invitation to worship. The shell. The shell ornament signifies baptism in the name of three persons.
The dove. The dove has long stood as a sign of peace and purity and newfound hope. The candle. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." This symbol also reminds Christians to be witnesses for Christ. The fish. The fish is a popular symbol of Christianity today. It was a secret symbol used by the early persecuted Christians to signify their belief in Jesus.
The beehive. The beehive is symbolic of all God's people working together. The descending dove. The descending dove represents the Holy Spirit. After his baptism, as soon as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down in the form of a dove.
What a wonderful day of blessings this day has become. So, as we've already hung the chrismons, at this time, we invite each and all of you to hang chrismons. Mr. Tommy Gober will be walking up the aisle to hand any to those that do not have one. So please join us as we all do this together.
Captive.
At this time, wreaths will be placed on the outside of the doors of the church building, serving as a witness to the community, a witness that this is the season of Advent, a season of preparation and anticipation of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remembering the joy of the season, one of the traditions we have here as we close out our service is to gather together in a circle around our sanctuary. So I want to invite you to exit to the outside, and we're going to form a circle and sing "Joy to the World." Our church is decorated. You know, I was thinking as we were putting up the chrismons, what chrismon maybe stood out to you? And I noticed for me it was the beehive. I loved the beehive of everyone coming together to work together. And what a picture of that is this service. My friends, I pray that as we have decorated this sanctuary, as we have made time to think about and consider the symbols of the season, that we would remember the great hope and love and joy that we have as we prepare to welcome Christ into our lives once again. Just know that as you stand in this circle, maybe for the 80th time or maybe for the first time, that you always have a place here in this circle and with this church, that the Lord has welcomed you in that you might know His great love for you. Let us remember this as we go into the world sharing that love with others.